Second Chronicles 13, the first five verses, covenant of salt. Bible says, now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. And Abijah stood up on Mount Zimrim, and which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt?" Covenant of salt. Do you know that we can't live without salt? People don't think about that. I don't think during the day that anyone ever, that never crosses anyone's mind, that you cannot live without salt. You have to have salt in your body. I don't have any problem with that, but some folks might, you see. And I'd ask this morning, has your salt lost its savor? Those in Christ are the salt of the earth. Now, these are standard things that I think even religious people that don't go to church might understand. But I fear that many will lose their savor in this hour. In these last days, one of the things I emailed Brother David this morning, brother, if it's God's will, come on. These people up here, they talk about the people in Mexico. Listen, you can't even pull up truth on the radio in America on a Sunday morning. Now, when I was growing up, it was you could do that. And up until maybe 25, 30 years ago, we still had some barnstorming, fire-breathing preachers that would preach the truth of God's Word. And as with this virus, I fear that too often that the so-called cure is worse than the disease. Because we've now taken religion and we've given it a modern inflection and a modern tone, and we've brought in things that have not led to a pure doctrine, but a watered down, you see. Has your salt lost its savor? I'm asking this morning if your salt has lost its savor. Even this business of wearing a mask in public. Is your life in this world worth your liberty? I mean, they run around like scared children. Even the lieutenant governor, he said, some things are worse than dying, and they are. But not to the lost people out there. Not to the folks without Christ, you see. Is your life worth a covenant of salt? Listen, you may not see this, but if you'll wear a mask, you'll take the mark. You'll take the vaccinations and you'll take the mark. It's coming. The Bible says it's coming. And I see the Kool-Aid of political correctness, even in our own midst. It's a headship issue. The order of God is no more. It's a headship issue. Even in our own midst, those around us in our own circle, in Christ, we're to be salt. And salt that doesn't season is good for nothing. It's worthless. We're to be wise as serpents, are we not? We're to be meek as doves. But yet we're to be salt. Christ could never hide his presence. Even when he attempted such, you know why? He was salt. And he was light. And listen, if you're in Christ Jesus, no more should you be able to hide your presence, you see. If we do, we're neither salt nor light. Have we become hidden? Have we lost our savor? I don't think there's any doubt to anyone that knows me that who rules in my home. It's not an autocratic issue. It's simply a fact. And anyone who's spent any time in my home, they know that's the way it is. And the salt. There was absolutely no doubt when Brother James St. John, if you'd ever visited his home or spent even a very short time with him, was there any doubt in your mind who ruled in that home? No. Or even Brother David. But I can't say that about anyone else. Other than the fact of maybe in an autocratic situation where that they're just tyrannical. But I can't say that. It's salt. You see, 1 Timothy states clearly the word of rule. The man of God must, not should, must rule his home, wife, and children well. He must. It's part of the covenant of salt. The covenant Abijah spoke about. They were going to fight. He said, do you not know the covenant of salt? We could go into a dissertation here on the word rule. But if you have no understanding of rule, then you've no understanding of salt. I'm asking if you've lost your savor. Is your light hid? The entire chapter of our text tells of a salty king, Abijah. And he stands up on a mount. And he speaks to Israel and he speaks to Jeroboam. And he tells them that they turn from God. Look in verse 9 and verse 10. He said, have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, the Levites, and made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands? So that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest to them that are no gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God. We've not forsaken him, and the priests which minister to God are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. Now here's the battle, the 400,000 of Judah versus 800,000, 1.2 million valiant warriors. Judah against Israel, brother against brother. You read, you know that the result of that thing, that 500,000, 500,000 valiant men perished of Israel. And those that won, that were outnumbered 2-1, they won by their devotion to God, their covenant of salt. And they wavered not from the ways that God prescribed. They held the course. Those of Jeroboam, they'd made priests and preachers just like the world. And those that tickle your ears and preach smooth things. And they strayed from this book. They compromised the word of God. Salt that's lost its savor is good for what? Nothing. Not a thing. Nothing. So all these things we've learned all these years, and all that are with us this morning, you know these things. You've all been with us for years. What's become of them? What's become of our salt? The order for the home. Leave father and mother. Women to be keepers at home. Men, the head of the woman is Christ, the head of the church. Older women teaching the younger women. The qualifications for a man of God is specified in Timothy. And now even the assembling of ourselves is being questioned. You can't receive salt watching church on the internet or in your car A video game isn't salt. Salt does what? It seasons. It leaves a taste. It cures. It preserves. It has a lasting effect. It's salt. And if it's lost its savor, friend, it's good for nothing. It's useless. Now Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. Now you get that. Of what? Not heaven. The earth. You, sir. You, ma'am, are the salt of the earth. And that salt must be prevalent. It must be present in the home, in the workplace, in the church, in the family. The salt is you. It's what God has made you and I. Salt. How can you have Christ and not have salt? It's life. We are the salt of the earth. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 18. Verse 19. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee. Hadn't the Lord given us these things? And thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. That's what God's given us. Look, it is a covenant of salt forever. It is a covenant of salt forever. Before the Lord, unto thee and to thy seed with thee. When I sent the message to Brother David this morning, I said, what about your progeny? What about your sons and your daughters and your grandsons and your granddaughters? Because I fear they don't know of the salt. The covenant of salt. It's a covenant. It's an unbroken agreement. And it's a covenant forever. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for absolutely nothing. And what's the salt good for? Everything. Everything. In every single facet of our life, there should be salt. In ruling, in following, in working, in praying, in worship, child rearing. Every single act, salt. Turn back even further. Turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 2. I'm sorry, Leviticus, chapter 2. Leviticus hadn't come around yet. Verse 13 of Leviticus 2. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Everything you offer, everything you do, the words out of your mouth. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Do you see it? Salt's not to be lacking in our covenant. Folks, we're just not salty enough. The old guard, they had plenty. All David did, he did by all his might. You remember the harlot that washed our Lord's feet when he went into Simon's house to eat? She washed his feet with what? Her tears. Her tears washed his dirty feet. Do you know what tears consist of? Salt. The very liquid that cools our body. The pores in our body bring forth sweat. Do you know what it consists of? You can taste it. Salt. Those of you that know me, you know I've got a theory about salt. I like a little food with my condiments. And salt, if you can't see it, it's not on there. I could eat salt. But I'm not preaching the message for that. But it has a meaning that salt is there. And you know it's there. There's no mistaking that it's there. Now turn to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. Where our Lord himself spoke in verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth." We should never forget that. I know we all know the verse. "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Do you see? Verse 14 through verse 16, he said, "Ye are the light of the world. City that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And he giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Salt. Salt. A covenant of salt. Now you may have salt, but if others neither see or taste such, what good is it? It's good for nothing. Ye are the salt of the earth. But he said, did you see it? If the salt hath lost, not it, his. His savor. That personalizes it. That takes it from the salt to the receiver. It is a covenant of God, a covenant of salt. And without such, no one shall ever see your light. I'd ask, how is your salt? Tasteless? It's a covenant forever. And if you're in Christ, you've made that covenant. You've made a covenant of salt. That's what Abijah, he said, look, the covenant of salt bound us. And it cost them 500,000 men. Because they wouldn't live up to the covenant of salt. I'd pray you remain salty throughout your life on this earth. It's a covenant forever. It's a covenant of salt.